Good Friday. Today is December the 20th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the debate rages on for generations. Should it be an artificial Christmas tree or a real Christmas tree? We're going to take a look back to the history of artificial trees and also share some tips about those live trees to keep them around as long as possible. We'll have more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Friday morning taking a look out in the backyard and garden and tackle the debate about Christmas trees, a fresh tree or a real tree versus an artificial tree. And ironically, some people actually do both. Now, for full disclosure, I grew up with real Christmas trees, and for several years we had them and then switched recently to an artificial tree, but we've often talked about going back. The battle rages on, though, every year between a lot of families about whether it should be real or artificial, and that's been actually raging since the first artificial tree was produced in 1774. That was by a German immigrant in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and it was made of wood. It was lit by candles. The first one that resembled a real tree, though, if you will, was made in Germany in the 1880s in response, ironically, to what they considered deforestation at that time. Now, in the 1930s, the Addish Brush Company actually started making Christmas trees from brush bristles. Ironically, that's the same company that was making toilet bowl brushes. They just changed them to be green and structured them to look like a tree. Now, if you fast forward to the 1950s and 60s, when plastic and aluminum trees were mass produced and sold, that obviously gained a lot of popularity in certain circles. But today, the artificial tree business is a big business. Balsam Hill is actually the sponsor of the Hallmark Channel Countdown to Christmas. And if you look online, their trees range anywhere from $50 for the low end to over $500. So depending on how much you want to spend, you can get a really impressive tree. Now, in some situations, an artificial tree may be required. For example, in commercial situations, whether it's hotels or malls or church settings, it may be against local fire code or ordinance to have a live tree inside. So in that case, artificial trees are the best option. But with those, you need to, again, make sure you're paying attention to what you're buying and where it's going to go. Obviously, with artificial trees, you have a lot more flexibility as to how tall they are, how narrow they are at the base with the taper, all sorts of different things, and obviously where they can be placed in terms of lighting and heat sources, things like that that will not have an impact that they would if it was a live Christmas tree. Now, if you're on the other side of the fence and you do cut down a live, fresh-cut tree and bring it into the house, again, a couple of those important things to remember is the placement of that tree, ideally keeping it out of any direct heat from an artificial heat source, whether it's by furnace vents or by some fireplace or other source of heat. That just more rapidly increases the evaporation and drying out of that tree and the loss of needles. Make a fresh cut on that tree when you get it home, even if you don't bring it right in. Put it in a bucket of water, and then when you do go to put it in the stand and decorate it, if you have not done so already, they recommend cutting off about 3/4 of an inch from the bottom. That just opens up that xylem and phloem tissue to allow water to travel up and down through the tree and remain fresh throughout the Christmas season. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to continue our discussion about artificial versus real Christmas trees and get some more tips on selecting that real Christmas tree. USDA's Gary Crawford has more.
At the Christmas tree farm that I go to here in Northern Virginia, Evergreen Acres, I always interview the owner, Jim Gelson, and customers and the people working here. Now, here's a guy only in your fifth year helping out here at the farm, right?
But I'm so good, you would think I was born here.
The ever humble Josh, last name withheld by request to keep the fan mail down, right?
Right.
Right. But you do help a lot of people who come to the farm here. I've been finding that there's a lot more families, it seems, coming out this year who have never gone to a tree farm before and cut down their own tree. I bet you do get quite a few questions.
Tons of questions.
And besides, where are the bathrooms? What are some of the questions that people ask?
Where do I find the trees?
That, but you could see.
Yeah, it's yeah. It's a strange question, being there's a field. Yeah. Besides that, probably which one I recommend, but it's definitely a personal preference. Some people want the short needle. You know, usually once I tell them that, you know, the short needled spruce is going to drop its needles first, you cut them now, by the end of December, they're going to start shedding good. They steer the other way and go for the white pine because they hold the needles longer.
I'll let my listeners know that when Josh says cut them now, we're taping this interview Thanksgiving weekend. But at any rate, you wouldn't think that you would have any needle drop problems by cutting a tree fresh off the farm here, but you can. And there is nothing worse than being awakened in the night by the sound of a needle dropping. It's very annoying, isn't it?
Right. And it doesn't have to do with the quality of the tree. It's just the tree itself. You know, they shed needles quickly. Yep. The white pines, they'll hold them for 2 months before they'll start dropping needles.
Ooh, now, you say a lot of the problems that we have are because we don't pay attention to watering those trees?
Definitely keep them watered. A lot of people, you know, they got to water it every day. I would say the first week or so is critical also, because it's going to take in a lot of water.
Even if it's cut fresh right here at the farm?
Yes. You know, people don't understand how much water they're taking out of that ground. They take a lot of water, so keeping the water full. See, once you let that water level get down below the bottom of the tree, it'll start to sap over. So then you think, oh, well, we didn't water for 2 days. We'll just fill it up now. Well, it's done sapped over, so now it's not going to take water as well.
Sapped over means it seals the soil.
Yes, it's going to seal itself off. So you want to make sure you keep it full of water at all times so it'll last, you know, you get the time out of it.
Oh, our time's almost out. But Josh, you were telling me you don't get paid for helping out here, at least not in the usual money sense. So what is your pay?
I get to hunt. I deer hunt. That's part of the deal. I help and volunteer just so I can have some hunting rights. And it's good for the tree farm because he loses a lot of trees to the deer every year. A lot of trees. So it helps me and it helps Jim.
That's great. So Josh, we'll see you back here next year.
Yep.
All right. This is Gary Crawford reporting from Evergreen Acres in Noakesville, Virginia for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Josh, where are the trees?
Thanks, Gary. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.